Today is Friday, and you've reached the Kelly Wendland Podcast. On today's podcast, we talk with Logisoft leader and e-prescription expert Rob Moore. Coming up next. Another glacier gone today. But if you just accept your Lord and Savior, it won't matter in a way. We're live with Rob Moore. Rob, how is your afternoon going?
It's going good. How about yours?
It's good. And you've promised to talk as loud as possible. Usually you're a very quiet, person.
I'll try to speak up.
This will be new for you to raise your voice and to have your voice heard. So
exactly.
I think we all look forward to that. Before we get into to work stuff, tell me about this Jocic guy. Am I saying that right?
Jokic.
Is he the best
talking basketball with you, Kelly?
Is he the best basketball player in the world? Because he just won the MVP, right?
Well, you can't just judge him on one championship, Kelly. I mean,
but he was the MVP.
I watched the games because of him, so it was fun. He's a good player. He's fundamentally sound. You love to see the fundamentals. So
It looks like I could outjump him, though. Does that mean I could be in the NBA?
Well, if you're 7'2" or whatever he is, that doesn't matter.
Then I have a chance.
Yeah.
If it were me in versus you versus Shaq versus Giannis, who do you think would win the free throw contest?
I did all right with free throws. My record happened to be attempts, not makes. So that
you were fouled a lot. Is that right?
I was fouled a lot. I was a little guy,
You were not a little guy. You were a big dude.
I was playing against a bigger guy. So
bigger than you. And what are you, 6'5" or 6'6" or?
No, 6'4", but I'd be playing against, 6'7", 6'8". So I'd have to go in and use my body. I was kind of cheap back in the day too, if you can imagine. So
yeah, I'm going to assume that I could win the free throw contest as a hockey player. That's not saying very much, but you've never really talked about, you were the most, you had the most free throws, whatever that record is. How were you as a free throw shooter? Were you decent?
I never got into the 80%. It was probably in the 70s.
Oh, so you were much better than Shaq or Giannis.
Shaq couldn't, and Shaq had a good point. He always said, imagine trying to shoot a basketball with a tennis ball. It's not that easy. And that's how big his hands are, So
yeah.
That was his excuse anyway.
He made up for that with other parts of his game. So it's not like someone who doesn't watch a lot of basketball, and then you watch both him and Giannis shoot free throws, you think to yourself, how are they possibly in the league? But then you watch more of the game and you're like, well, Giannis cuts through everybody, and he can jump from half court and go over everybody, the top of them, and he slams it in. So right. I guess that's
athleticism and size.
Yeah. Well, when I first saw you, I like to tell the story that I said, that dude is in the NFL. There's no way he played NFL football. And I thought you were like a tight end, NFL tight end kind of person. And when I found out you were a basketball player, I thought, well, that was a mistake. And just based on how good your son is at football, that might be true. I mean,
you don't give basketball players enough, respect for how strong they need to be to play the game,
So. Right. I see that. That's why they look like marathon runners, like half the team.
Well, some of them do.
Yeah. No, I think there are, obviously you look at some of them and they're big fellas, but some of them are not, right. They look like, like long distance runners.
Yeah.
But your son is a great football player. He got that from someplace that must have been
right from his mom. Least too. His mom was a lot faster.
Yeah. Smarter too, probably.
Smarter
right.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah. Not too surprising. Tell me about, that's not a cut. We're complimenting your wife, which is the right thing to do. Cause it's true. Number one and number two, it's the right thing to do. Leadership, you're in charge of a large group of people, including a large group of owners. What do you think the toughest part for you in leading the group is leading the owners and leading the leaders of the company. What do you find challenging in leadership?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think in adding to the definition, what you said for our group, we're still across our entire leadership team and partners. We still treat ourselves as a pretty flat organization. And I think so that makes a challenge for anybody in these type of roles that you got. For me, it's like, when do you interject and when do you not interject? When do you get yourself involved and when do you just let them, you know, handle the entire, you know, whatever the situation might be? I think, and I make mistakes there too. I sometimes think there's, you know, need for some input when they have it fully under control. And then there's other times when they're looking for some input that you need to jump in. So I think that's my biggest challenge of, I mean, if it was a straight, you know, okay, I'm the guy, I started this thing, I'm everything, you know, then maybe I'd feel a bit more about, okay, I can have a little more say, but you know, we're a partnership, right? So it's when our partnership group, we all have the equal say. So I have to really determine when it's best for someone to actually need to take the reins and say, okay, well, let's just move on and I'll make the decision on that. That's the biggest challenge, I think. And then with extending that to our leadership team, I mean, we have some extremely strong leaders that lead our different groups that really have a lot of experience. So it's the same challenge there of just making sure you let them, you know, take charge of what they need to and then provide guidance where you think it becomes valuable.
Yeah. I'm not surprised when I hear this, but people, when they talk about you, when we're talking about you behind your back, which is fairly often, I'll hear people say, you know, he's such a great mentor and he's, you know, he's so patient. And that part of, in particular, I always give the double take, like, what did you just say? He's patient. But do you feel like that's a strength of yours? Because you do have a reputation of being a good listener and being patient. So is that something you work on? And I would agree with those traits, by the way.
I don't, you know, patient might be a way of defining it. I just like I just said, I think we have a lot of smart people around us. So I like to hear their input, and because I think we're going to get a lot out of it. And I think the group think is pretty valuable on a lot of situations. So I think the patience might be more of me waiting to hear all the input, and my decision can be swayed off of that input. Right. So I'm not so stuck in my way that I'm going to just say, no, I'm going to overrule that. And so I probably do that to a fault, sometimes take too much input. Because I know sometimes when we do some retros to look at some decisions, you know, maybe I listen to too many people, you know. So I think that was a weakness as well. You know, and I think you're the king of saying that we got to move fast, we got to make some decisions and move on. And sometimes I get, you know, stuck in that analysis paralysis and you know, start trying to look at too many sides of the equation. But I think that can be perceived as patience sometimes. But it's because we like to surround ourselves with the smartest people, right? So I'm going to listen to them.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it is a tough economy. It's showing signs of resiliency in a lot of ways, amazingly, but I still consider it, you know, I feel cautious about where we're at with the economy. I think you probably share that at some level. We're seeing that from an employment perspective in technology, which is very uncommon over the 30 years we've been in it. What do you have the organization focused on? In your mind, what's going to be important over the next, you know, 6 to 12 months?
Yeah, it's, well, I think it's our... It's the common thread we've had for the last 25 years is diversity in clients, right? It's being able to handle the ups and downs by having a diverse set of clients that handle these types of slowdowns in different ways. I think that's helped us keep an even keel, but because of that, because of the large companies that are doing a large number of layoffs and slowing down our projects, and I think the common theme from all of us has been, we got to explore every opportunity and see every way we can possibly help our clients. And nothing's too small, nothing's too big, nothing's out of our wheelhouse. Well, some things are out of our wheelhouse, but things that we think that we can be of value, we got to jump all over and do our best to win that one little role. We can't be picking and choosing. We got to see the best ways we can help all of our clients. And I think in the healthcare space, it's that way as well, where I'm seeing some, like maybe on the payer side, they're slowing down on some of the work they're doing. But on the innovation side of these smaller companies, these hubs, these clients that are trying to get more information out to the patients, those clients are thriving right now. They're doing projects. They're finding ways to get projects done. And so we got to look at ways to, educate more of those types of clients to what we bring as a team. So it's like I had a couple calls today. It's just pure networking and talking to as many people as we can, getting our message out there, getting the fact of what we can provide, doing as much as that as we can every single day, right?
Yeah.
The same thing you do on a daily basis.
Yeah. All that makes sense. And I know that as a group, we're talking about how do we make sure our clients are successful? How do we, when it's a tough environment for our clients, we can be local. How do we make sure that our clients know that we are aligned with them and we're going to do everything possible to be there and be the best possible partner in this tough period and in the longer term? And, you know, because this is when you differentiate yourself as a true partner versus just someone who's there to collect money when it's convenient.
Right. Yeah. And I think something when you say true partner, that makes me think about some things we've been trying to do on offering our solutions in a variety of flexible ways. We've talked about the dev center. I'm a huge believer in the value of providing, a great technical team that's available upon request versus, not something that's going to sit at the client site for 40 hours every week without the volume of work they need to keep them busy. I mean, I've been using them for all my projects and doing that or assisting another company with, they want to explore with offshore, making sure we have the right expertise to help them with that expertise or else, providing just subject matter expertise at a limited time. So they're not, I have a few projects where an SOW went out for, I think they're only doing like 2 hours a week with them, but they're providing a great 2 hours of subject matter expertise for that time. That's extremely valuable to the client. And so they have access to that without paying for a full-time resource. I think we just have been really flexible how we're willing to work with our clients that it has allowed us to provide a value in a lot of different ways. I think we got to continue to brainstorm different ways that we can do that to kind of match up to the exact need the client has, right?
Yeah, very well said. Rob Moore, thanks so much for spending time with us. We appreciate it. As always, good basketball talk. And for everyone else out there, thank you for watching the Vodcast.
Thanks, Colin. See you. Yesterday, just give these people say.